You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 7, and the final message in our series, Need to Know, Hebrew Words to Help Us Understand God's Story. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Let me just welcome you once again. You've heard it said, I've said it, but we're just so glad to have you here with us for the very last time in this one giant big room here. I always love when I meet new people, and I tell the same dumb joke that I'd love to give you a tour, but this is really all it is right here. So it's my privilege to welcome you to this one big giant room for the last time, into the concrete basement that we've been watching your kids in. We're glad to have you here. If you didn't catch it at the beginning, my name is Sten. I'm the pastor here. And I'm really glad you could be here with us today. So far this summer, we have been learning. We've had a summer series going since the beginning of July. We've been learning a number of Hebrew words because the language, the Hebrew language is actually kind of the heart language of the Bible, believe it or not. So far this summer, we've been learning a number of Hebrew words that we think you all need to know in order to help you, in order to help all of us understand God's story better. And truthfully, as all the dates started to line up, I wasn't originally planning to continue this series for the final service here at Camp St. Croix, as my heart and my intent was to focus so much more on just how God has been at work here in the last 5 years. But when I took a look at the word that I had originally planned to introduce you to today, and when I looked at some of the other notes about this particular word from my colleague James Brown, who helped create this series and who actually preached once before on this same word, when I looked at our original plan to talk about the word in this series, I actually realized, you know what, this is the perfect word for us to talk about as we bring our season of you know, life here to a close. So I thought, man, there's no need to depart from this series. Let's stay right here and talk about it all. So before I introduce you to this last Hebrew word in our summer series, Need to Know, I want to teach you an English word that I suspect some of you may have heard before. Here's the word right here. It's the word wow. Okay, let's all say this together on the count of three. One, two, three. Wow. Man, you guys are so good, so smart, okay? Wow is an exclamation of surprise, right? It's used to express wonder. It's used to express amazement. And I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about a question for you. As you reflect over the last week, or maybe even the last month, how many times did you say wow? Think about that to yourself. Over the last week or over the last month, how many times did you say wow? Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't necessarily keep track of how many times I ever said the word wow. But if I'm honest, I'm not sure I say it enough. And maybe the same is true for you. In fact, I'd guess that it's maybe hard for you to remember the last time that you were positively surprised enough to verbally express wonder or amazement. In fact, there's a kind of an obscure movie quote, actually just a movie quote from an obscure movie that, again, my colleague James Brown had discovered and shared with me that I want to share with all of you. It's a quote from a Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks movie in the 90s called Joe Versus Volcano. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've never seen this movie, and I don't suspect maybe all of you have either. But as I heard about it, there's one striking line from the movie, and I want to share it with you. Meg Ryan is speaking, and this is what she says. She says, "My father says almost the whole world's asleep. Everybody you know, everybody you see, everyone you talk to, he says only a few people are awake, and they live in a state of constant, total amazement." Now, I would like to think that I'm one of the few people who live in a constant state of amazement. But to be honest, I don't necessarily know if I am, and I don't know maybe if you are. I don't know if many of us are. And so the question then becomes, if this is true, why do so few of us really live a life of amazement? Why do so few of us say, wow? See, I worry that life actually, it kind of squeezes the wow right out of us. That life's repetitiveness lulls us to sleep, and life's pace and life's problems wear us down. And so all of a sudden, wow gets replaced by worry, and optimism gets replaced by pessimism, and confidence gets replaced by concern and by fear and by doubt. Is this true for anyone else? Maybe just me? I think either way, if it's true for you, maybe not. I think either way, what we do know is that this was true, right? That life did kind of squeeze the wow out of one of the Bible's greatest and most famous heroes. Life squeezed the wow right out of him, and his name was Moses. Moses was the dude that God tapped on the shoulder and chose to lead his people out of slavery. Moses was the guy who confronted Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet at the time. Moses was the guy who demanded, "Let my people go." Moses was the guy who raised his arms and watched God split the sea. Moses was the dude that had really a pretty impressive resume. But the truth is, life and responsibility got to him. Even though he had VIP tickets, even though he had backstage passes to God's miracle show, somehow he too lost his wow. And what I want to do today is briefly here describe for you how exactly he lost his wow, and more importantly than what he did to get it back. And so to do that, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to summarize for you large portions of chapter 32 and chapter 33 before we ultimately look at one particular exchange that Moses had with God. So here is that summary. Here's what's going on. Moses is in his early 80s. He's right in the middle of a gigantic assignment that God gave him to lead over 1 million Israelites out of slavery in Egypt into Canaan, the promised land. The journey is taking forever, and it's full of roadblocks, and it's full of detours, and over time, these 1 million Israelites, they're becoming uncooperative, and they're becoming skeptical, and they're becoming fearful and doubtful, and they're even becoming suspicious of Moses' leadership. Truthfully, it's like 40 years now for Moses that he's been listening to them complain, like the kids in the back seat of my car on a road trip, asking, "Are we there yet?" It's 40 years Moses has been having to listen to this. Are we there yet? And if you have kids, you know that, you know, even like 4 hours of that like starts to wear you down a little bit, right? Let alone 40 years of it, okay? And Moses is starting to wear down. He's overwhelmed by their whining and by their sinfulness. And at one point, he's up on Mount Sinai receiving instructions from God, and then things for the people back down below start to go from bad to worse. Moses takes a little bit longer to come back down the mountain to the people, and in his absence, the people start going off the rails. They start making idols, little gods out of gold. They weren't convinced that Moses and the God of Moses were going to be the source of strength that they needed for the journey ahead. So they melted all the gold that they had and made and started to worship this golden calf, a version of what they remembered to be the Egyptian god of power. That in Moses' absence, they felt like that's what they needed. And in addition to their worship of this golden calf, this foreign god and idol, the Bible says this in Exodus chapter 32, verse 6. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Okay, this is like the PG way to say they went wild. Right, raging, you know, parties and all kinds of lewd and inappropriate and really just kind of godless and lawless behavior in Moses' absence. They're going, "He ain't gonna do it for us. Where is he? What's he doing? Forget him." And they go crazy. And God is actually, in this moment, God is furious, and he sends Moses back down the mountain to deal with it all. Lucky guy, huh? Right? As if his job wasn't hard enough already. One chapter later, after Moses is, you know, kind of dealing with this, you know, big collective temper tantrum, he's actually back in the presence of God. He's actually back in the presence of God, and I want us to try to feel some of the burden that he has been carrying. as we look at this next exchange here. I want us to try to feel some of it. He's overwhelmed, he's tired, and he's burnt out, and truthfully, right, the people are going crazy, and he hasn't said wow in way too long. And now with weak and wobbling knees and with shaky faith because of all that he's experiencing, because of all that he's carrying, he approaches God. He has God's attention once more. He's in God's presence once more. And I want you to see. I want you to see what it is that he asks for in that moment. He's tired. He's worn out. He's burnt out, right? He's tired of the responsibility that God gave him, and he's tired of the behavior of the people that he's responsible for leading. And I want you to see, in that state, I want you to see what it is that he asks for God in that moment. We're going to start reading this kind of back and forth in chapter 33, starting in verse 12, and I'm going to read from the Message translation, which I think captures the heart of this scene and how Moses is feeling so well. Here it goes. Moses said to God, he said, look, God, you tell me, lead this people, but you don't let me know whom you're going to send with me. You tell me, I know you well, and you are special to me. He says, well, if I'm so special to you, let me in on your plans. That way, I will continue being special to you. And then he says this, don't forget that this is your people. They're your responsibility, he says to God. He's tired, right? The wow is fading. Verse 14, God said, my presence will go with you. I'll see the journey to the end. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't take the lead here, he's going, God, if you're not going to show up, then call this trip off. He says, how else will it be known that you're with me in this, with me and your people? Are you traveling with us or not, God? How else will we know that we're special, I and your people, among all the other people on this planet Earth? Verse 17, God says to Moses, all right, just as you say, this I'll also do for you, for I know you well, and you are special to me, and I know you by name. And then verse 18, Moses says this. Here's his one request. Here's the one thing he asks for. He says, please, God, let me see your glory. He's got a lot on his plate. That's an understatement, right? He's tired. He's wearing down, and in his time of greatest need, he has a request of God. He doesn't ask God to, you know, speed up the timeline. He doesn't ask God like, hey, God, could you just like snap your fingers and make the people grow up, right? He doesn't ask, you know, God to mow down every obstacle that's in front of them or that they're about to encounter, right? He doesn't, you know, ask God to give him some kind of superhero strength or more charismatic leadership. He doesn't ask for any of that. That's not his request. What does he want? He just wants to know God better. So he simply asks, please, God, let me see your glory. The word glory here that we're reading, the word glory is our need to know word for the day. The Hebrew word for glory is the word kavod, which means importance or weight or greatness. Moses is saying, God, please let me see your greatness. Let me see your glory. Glory is the total sum of who God is. It is the maximum expression of his awesomeness. It is all of his attributes added up. The sum of his love and his power and his mercy and his justice and his wisdom and his goodness and his grace. And when you and I, when we experience and when we witness these attributes of God in our life or in our church or in our community or in the lives of others, there's only one word to describe it. Wow. And that's what Moses needed to see in the moment. He had a long road ahead and he knew it. He had a big mountain to climb. And he wasn't quite sure how he was going to make it happen. And his one request, he needed to see God's wowness right before his very eyes. Moses is saying, God, Would you, this is, he's saying, God, this is what I need for you. Would you flex your muscles for me? Right? He needed to see the Superman S on God's chest. He needed to see that God was still on the throne. He says, God, please let me see your glory. And so God gives Moses a peek of his glorious presence. And it was exactly what Moses needed to keep on going, to continue on his journey, and to complete his assignment. And so here's what I realize when I think about all of this. Here's what I realize. The how, in terms of how am I going to move forward? How are we going to overcome this? How are we going to make this happen? Here's what I realize. The how is a whole lot easier when we remember the wow. Right? We've all got hows in our lives in terms of, man, how am I going to get from here to there? How am I going to complete this task? Or how am I going to continue on this journey? The how is a whole lot easier when we are constantly looking for and reminding ourselves of the wow. You see, the challenges were too big for Moses. The task at hand was way too big. And Moses was way too weak and too small, right? No. Golden calf would give him the power to move forward. He needed to be wowed by God's bigness and God's greatness. And friends, the reality is, so do we. Just like Moses, all of us, we are all on a journey of our own. And you know this, I don't have to tell you this, sometimes we get tired. And sometimes we get worn out, and sometimes we become unsure of exactly how it is that we're going to keep moving forward. God, how am I going to do this? God, how is this going to come together? God, how am I going to, you know, take this next step? Right? Maybe for you, you're overwhelmed at work. The responsibility is so big, and the weight is adding up, and you're working longer, and yet you're never getting ahead, and the stress is intolerable. It's unbearable. Maybe for you, it's your marriage. And you've hit a rough stretch and moving forward feels impossible. You're going, God, how are we going to make this happen? Or maybe it's your family. You're trying to raise young kids, or you're trying to navigate the teenage years, and maybe it feels too overwhelming. God, how do we get from here to there? Or maybe it's your finances, or maybe it's your loneliness, or maybe it's your diagnosis, or maybe it's your addiction that is weighing you down that makes you say, how is this going to happen? Or maybe for you, it's not a you thing. Maybe it's an us thing, right? Maybe after 5 years of doing this thing here, setting up chairs and tearing down chairs and meeting and maybe you're, if you've been a part of things here, maybe you're tired. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're unsure about the big move, or maybe you're sad to leave this place, or maybe you're uncertain about, you know, about what Mid-Current's going to be like in the new place, or maybe you're worried about, or maybe it's just me that's worried about this kind of stuff. Maybe you're nervous or worried about how the next chapter is going to go, right? Will the move go well? Will we have enough support? Are the people too tired? You know, will new people come? Will we grow? If we do grow, are we ready to go, right? Will we continue to be financially stable enough to support the growth in the next chapter, right? I could think of a million different questions about how we keep moving forward together after 5 long and tiring years. Friends, we too, whether it's something happening in our individual life or whether it's something happening right now in our life as a church, right? In order for us to keep moving forward, we need to get a glimpse of God's kavod, right? We need to get a glimpse of God's glory, of God's wow. Why? Because what was true for Moses is true for you and for me too. The how is going to be easier. Whatever it is, it's an individual, family, marriage, our church, the how do we move forward? The how is going to be a whole lot easier when we remember and when we look for constantly, when we look for the wow. And so my encouragement to you is to pray for what Moses prayed for. Pray to get to know God better. Pray for, you know, a peek in your everyday life. Pray for a peek of God's glorious presence. Pray for the same thing. Pray that you too would be reminded of God's wow. And in the meantime, here's what I want to do as we continue, as we actually conclude the message today and we conclude our time here, right? Here's what I want to do. I want to try to give you a sneak peek of God's wow, of God's bigness and God's greatness here as well. And so what I'm going to do with the remaining few minutes is I'm actually going to invite a few people up here with me today and in hopes of reminding you of God's kavod and of God's wowness and of God's bigness and how God has been working here in the last 5 years. These stories of the folks that I'm going to invite up and introduce here, these stories are not the only ones of how God has been at work here. Man, we could tell endless stories, and we even had other stories lined up that we just realized we couldn't tell today. So these are not every story, but we wanted to do our best to try to describe for you how God has been working here in this place. And so Erica's up here, John's up here. I'm gonna invite Jeff and Lori, or maybe just Jeff up here today to share a few things. All right, great, great, great. Here she comes. These are not representative of all the stories of how God has been at work here, but we wanted to conclude our time trying to remind you of how God has been working, how we have, how they have, how we experience God's wow here in this place. So I'm going to start with Jeff and Lori, a couple who is really newer to Midcurrent, but I think is neat. Sometimes it's newer people with fresher eyes that you know are able to see God's wow a little bit more clearly. And so I'm going to invite Jeff and Lori to just share with us how God has been at work in their life, how they have seen God at work here, and how God has really wowed them during their time here at Midcurrent.
All right. Well, thanks, Dan. Like I said, my name is Jeff, and we've been coming since about the end of January. The first week we came, Sten had just started a series called Seizing Your Divine Moment. And me and Lori came for the next few weeks, and we were challenged by the message Sten was given, and we went home and we started praying, thinking, wow, could this church possibly be a good fit for us? We just moved back from up north, and we came back the next week, and or a few weeks later, and Sten was wrapping up the series, and believe it or not, the thing that he said that day was, stop praying and start moving. So the next Sunday, we came in with a small card and envelope with a check in it, enclosed for the Raise Him Up campaign, and donated it in the box right there. And from that point forward, it's made us move. It's made us move to become an MC partner, to go on the 6K Global Walk for Water, to be involved with the church prayer service we had down there, blessing each and every room down there, and to sign up for next week and to be a part and move and help do all the work that needs to be done prior to the new church. The second thing that really wowed us is when we first came here was the MC kids. We were just blown away by when we walked in these doors. Well, first of all, we looked online to see what maybe the church was all about. And when we saw the website and all these young people, we were intimidated, saying, you know what, Lord? I don't see any old people on that website at all. But as we walked in the door, my heart was filled with joy. See so many young families here touched my heart. And I said, this is the part we need to be a part of. So today we have one of the MC kids up here with us, our grandson Otto. And we couldn't be more proud to be here. So we told our daughter about this church, and I said, you need to bring your kids and your husband here to check it out. So they came the next week. When we went downstairs and witnessed what we saw down there, we couldn't believe what we'd seen before our eyes. All the kids. And as I looked down upon my grandson, nothing brings me more joy to me, and I know all you folks, nothing more important than your kids, your grandkids, your adult kids. And we have a church here that is witnessing to them, and you couldn't ask for more. That's why I'm so thankful for Amy and her volunteers to teach our kids week in and week out.
I'll just echo what Jeff said, absolutely. But I'm just going to add a little bit more. I'm not going to say as much as I was, but how I've been wowed, and I also wanted to say how I've been changed by MidCurrent. We had been involved in a church for 32 years, and so Sunday school teacher, women's ministry director at the local level, at the district level, leadership team, Awana director. I wore many hats, and we hit a brick wall. We had some disagreements in the church after about 28 years, and friends, family members, and friends who we were family of 27 years had left. Didn't know about your sermon today, Sten, but God is great. Lost my wow. And it was at that time that Jeff and I decided we needed a change. I left my teaching position. We moved up north, which began a 3-year journey. And I love the song, Truth Be Told, because as I was thinking about this, we moved away, but if truth be told, I think actually now looking back, we ran away. And so began that 3-year journey of wandering. Sound familiar? And so in those 3 years of wandering, we tried new churches. We went to Eagle Brook. We loved it. We could go in. We could leave. Didn't have to serve because, quite frankly, I was burnt out. I felt like we had gone through a divorce. I was hurt. I was angry. I was upset. I was broken and burnt. We tried a new church. Didn't feel like a good fit. I had met Pastor Sten a few years before all of this. A seed had been planted because he officiated at our son's friend's wedding, two of them. And then November ultimately married our son and daughter-in-law. So that seed had already been planted. And so during this 3-year journey of COVID and not knowing where we belonged, to my husband's persistence, we showed up at MidCurrent. And it was no coincidence that we were there for day one of seizing your divine moment. Jeff laughs at me because I pulled out my little book here, and I usually have a sermon notebook, but he thinks I'm not paying attention. And so I shared with Teresa earlier how we can just, now I'm bragging because he's like, what week did that sermon series start? And I thought, well, let me just look in my book here. So it was week 5. And can I say on this 3-year journey, and I'll be quick, but on the 3-year journey, it was a praying marathon. Where do we belong? You know, what should we do? Where can we serve? We were looking for a sign. Give us a sign, any sign, a billboard, anything. And I myself was feeling very far from God at the time. Week 5, Sten was up there, and this is from my notes. Many times when I think I'm waiting for God, he is waiting for me. What kind of sign am I looking for? That was something that gave me the holy goosebumps, is what I call it. Week 6, as Jeff alluded to, prayer is not a substitute for obedience. Prayer can be a code for, I'd rather not to do what I'm supposed to do. That was my ouch hallelujah. And stop praying, start moving. So that's what we did. We stopped there, we stopped praying, we started moving. So how has MidCurrent changed me? I feel the Holy Spirit again. I don't feel lost. He speaks to me through the worship up here, the music, through Pastor Sten's messages. I've been moved by Jill's words so many times when she has spoken. I have a renewed spiritual energy that I haven't felt for a long time. I feel a hunger for God's word, and I have a desire again to serve God here in this place. And I'm added one note to that today. I have been reminded of God's wow. So thank you, Pastor Sten.
Great. Yeah, we're glad to hear of the way that God has been working and leading you, and certainly we see God's wowness in all the little kids that we have a privilege to lead and to raise up the next generation. So that's great. John Johnson has been really part of things from early on, and has been with us for so many of these years, vitally, vitally, vitally involved in so many various details. And so I wanted to have John have a chance to just share, too, about how he experiences God's wowness in his life in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for having me up here today. I feel like I should have brought one of my kids up here because that worked pretty good for Jeff here. So Heidi and I were attending a church called Crossroads Church in Woodbury prior to coming here. I see some other former Crossroadians over here. And Crossroads was a really great church for us. It had a lot of great people and a good pastor. And just a message that was founded in biblical truths. And we felt like we really were growing, or we were, you know, kind of building our foundation there. We were not newlyweds per se. I mean, we had probably about, I don't know, at least half our kids by then. And we were, but we were committed and we were growing, but there's something that was missing. And I think what was missing that we kind of figured out was that we didn't have that community. You know, we had moved to Hudson. We were commuting back to Crossroads, and boy, we were just longing for the people of our community. You know, we didn't know very many people, and we were really just looking forward to connecting with people. So our next thought was, well, one of the pastors at Crossroads, his name's James Brown, former pastor at Crossroads, you might recognize that name. He lived in Western Wisconsin. So we approached James and we said, James, are you going to start a church in Western Wisconsin? You know, I'm sure he'd been asked that question many times prior. And so he gave us a quick no answer and said, well, actually, the lead pastor at Crossroads has a daughter and a son-in-law who are going to be opening a church in Hudson. So fast forward a couple years and we're here at Midcurrent. We had neighbors that were coming here. It was early on, but not right at the beginning. We quickly realized that Erica was that daughter and Sten was that son-in-law. So it all worked out really nicely. And now we see James every once in a while as well, which is just great, too, to have that connection. Over the last 4 years, at that time of my life, I was really just kind of going through the motions of going to church on Sundays, doing life during the week. And it was that community need that we felt was missing and would help us grow in our faith. So what's changed over the last 4 years? Just the desire and the hunger and the passion for growing closer to God and just really strengthening my relationship with God. And then also supporting my family and their spiritual needs and just kind of helping them to, you know, be a good example to them, to lead them. My daughter Taylor and I got baptized here, and it was just an amazing experience. I'd been baptized as a child, but getting baptized as an adult, it was really a decision that I made and my daughter made, and it just was life-changing for us. So we're just looking forward to more opportunities as we continue forward with Midcurrent and to be wowed and inspired and just have those opportunities to guide others towards, you know, a life with Jesus.
Awesome. Thanks, John. At least from my perspective, watching your heart and your faith and your commitment to your faith and God's work here is certainly a place where I see how good God has been. So thank you, John. Our last guest is actually my wife, Erica, and I wasn't actually going to originally ask Erica to share anything. I figured one Carlson is enough for any given day. But one night I was explaining all this to Erica. Here's, you know, my plan. We're trying to collect some stories of how, you know, we've seen God kind of, you know, at work, where God has, you know, showed us his wowness. And then she kind of got quiet and started scrolling on her phone. And soon she said, Sten, do you remember the blog post that I wrote a few years ago? And then she read it to me. And it was a really great way for us to be reminded of how God really has been at work here and how God has been wowing us from day one. So to finish today, I asked Erica to just come up here. And she said, can I read it? Just, that's it? I said, yeah, you can just read it straight. And so it's got it's got some length to it. But as she read it, I thought, man, that is quite possibly the perfect way for us to kind of put a bookend and an exclamation point on how God has shown us his kavod, his glory, his wowness here. And so I'm going to have Erica read this for you.
May 4th, 2018. I have really good friends, friends that check in and ask how I am, and when I'm honest that things aren't the best, take time to ask more questions and answer with love and grace and honesty and some challenge. Last week, I had been struck with a negative streak. I couldn't seem to shake off all the bad things in my life, all the negatives of my personality, and the million emotions I carry every day. When I'm honest about these types of things, friends come through in a big way. One such friend reminded me to think back over a year and look at the ways God had been at work. We were going through a series at church right now on hope, and when talking about believing that God can still work miracles, I failed to come up with an example in my own life. That didn't sit well with me. Did I not see miracles? Are they not happening? Do I even believe in miracles? I am still wrestling with these questions, but I can say without a doubt that God has been on the move in my life over the last year. In case I ever doubt this again or need a pick-me-up on a cold winter day, I want to list them out in a big list so I can see that God does move, does do big things, does answer prayers, and does even perhaps perform miracles. 1 year ago, we had our last Sunday at Cedarbrook. We were blessed with so much support and love, and the foundation that we built at that church within our personal lives and our new family hold the sweetest memories for me. We sold our house. We didn't have a house in Hudson yet, and a super generous friend let us live in their home for more than a month, rent-free. We met amazing people in Hudson. I prayed big prayers for people I wanted to be part of our launch team, and they did. I specifically remember praying daily for a certain couple to be part of our team, and on Cinco de Mayo of last year, they called with a margarita in hand and said they were toasting to Midcurrent because they felt God wanted them there. Sten met with Jamie and Haley and was instantly excited at the thought of partnering with these two awesome ladies who know so many people in Hudson and have many connections. Jamie has been extremely generous with her space, and her loft alone has held many Midcurrent events, my favorite being cozy winter if table nights, where as women we gather to eat and to go deep, sharing intimate details of our lives. Haley has been a rock star to our team and has loved our family well. She introduced us to Mary, and these two girls have made my transition to Hudson eerily smooth. Our first launch team meeting, we gathered in a huge room at the Pettis House and introduced each other for the first time. Thinking about all those people being there brings tears to my eyes. When I look back at the picture, how could I not believe in miracles? God took something that was not yet formed and made it something. A team of people ready to see movement and spiritual growth in this stunning town we call home. We continued throughout this year to meet couples who shared meals with us and invited us into their lives, families who welcomed us with open arms, and kids who feel like some of my own already. Our building, how much did we pray and worry and fret about a place to gather only to be gifted the YMCA? The time that Sten biked to the YMCA to pray, asking God for the steps down to the kids' area to fall into place and for them to allow Midcurrent to provide the labor and materials to get that done. And much to his surprise, the steps were complete at no cost to us. The way our summer was a culmination of work and play and sort of a calm before the storm, which allowed us to travel and see people and move into this town with ease. Our perfect house with a master bathroom with an exclamation point and tons of space. Being close to my family and getting to see them on some of my dreary days, and also getting to see them on the happy days, celebrating life through the ordinary of every day and the extravagance of birthdays, milestones, and holidays. Our first preview service, where the culmination of all our hard work over the summer paid off, and we felt the high of so many people through our doors and the excitement of what was to come. The month of January, which made everything feel official with a no turning back mentality. Our weekly service being in full swing and praying for one new person and one returning person each week. Our team, who has continued to floor us with the way they give and serve so freely. The way the leaders have led and the teams have formed bonds. The way God has changed my heart for children's ministry. How I see the gifts God has given me to be used as a safe and approachable teacher to the littlest Midcurrent kids. How my kids adore our church. The way they react when it's Sunday is pure joy and adoration, even though we are there 2 hours early and are always the last ones to leave. Easter, how the place was packed and I had 21 little people and helpers in my birth to 2-year-old room. Our spring launch, when the Y was open for climbing and people lingered after eating lunch and got to know each other and see new faces and make new connections. Our small group, which has been blowing me away, The vulnerability in our large small group has made me thankful for the trust people show in us and the desire we all have for deeper connections. The kids in our small group, all 15 of them, who fill our house week after week and make it loud and full of life. Watching my kids make friends who they know and ask for by name has a way of making my heart feel super full. Today, when I look back at this list, knowing I could add a million more things, a million more reminders of God's goodness to us over the last year. XO.
Thanks, Erica. I wish we could tell more of those stories because I'm telling you they do exist. Stories of marriages being strengthened and families being strengthened and addictions overcome and there's plenty to tell. I wish we could do more. But what I want to do to close here is instead of more stories, we wanted to try to capture as best we could just a glimpse of how God has been working here, not so much in story, but perhaps in photo. And so we wanted to try to capture the wow in as many photos as we can. So we put together a little slideshow that we want to show you now that kind of chronicles how God has been at work here in the last 5 years. Take a look. And when I look back at how God has been working here in you and in me, I really do say wow. And I do really believe that how we all move forward in the face of whatever step is next for us, right? Whatever step is next for you as an individual, whatever step is next for us as a church and as a community, I really do believe that it will be easier and it will be far more doable when we work hard to remember the wow as much as we can and the ways that God has been wowing us and will continue to wow us from this moment forward. God has been present here with us in this space for the last 5 years, and I really do believe that the best is yet to come, and I absolutely believe that we can trust God with whatever it is that comes next.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just a reminder that we will not be meeting on Sunday, July 24th. Be sure to join us in person or online at our new location at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson on Sunday, July 31st.